Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Am I wrong that the fascination, the adoration that a whole generation of Americans, especially some American Roman Catholics, have with the Kennedy mystique, the Camelot myth, isn't shared by their children or their grandchildren, and the theology among those Roman Catholics in particular seems somewhat different as well? I wonder why that is. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thank you for tuning us in. We're going to start talking in this hour of Issues Etc. with Colleen Carroll Campbell about young Roman Catholics and the Kennedy mystique. It's Thursday afternoon, the 10th of September. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at IssuesETC. Then we'll be talking, starting a series on what Bible scholarship, modern Bible scholarship, does to the Gospels. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
Colleen, before we talk about your column in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch about young pro-life Roman Catholics and the Kennedy mystique, what did you think about President Obama's speech last night to the joint session of Congress?
Yes, well, I thought he's an eloquent speaker and articulate, of course. I was struck by the controversy over the Republicans' response to President Obama, some grunting and some booing here and there, and, of course, the one outburst, which I think everyone agrees was inappropriate. On the other hand, the president, even in that very speech and throughout his rhetoric in the health care debate, has basically accused anyone who has serious misgivings about his plan of being intentionally deceitful, of lying, telling tall tales, purposely spreading misinformation. So I think he's given as good as he's gotten. And I think at the end of the day, it was a speech that probably didn't convince the people who already opposed the plan. It probably didn't win over any new people, but of course, if you already think his plan's a great idea, then him reassuring you that everything you've heard to the contrary is simply a pack of tall tales, that might work. But I think for most Americans right now who are very skeptical of this, or at least a slim majority right now, I think it's 52% according to the latest polls, I'm not sure that speech changed a whole lot. He talked a lot about the fact that we shouldn't listen to critics of the plan, but he still didn't give many specifics about how exactly he can refute those specific concerns, particularly when it comes to how this is all going to be paid for.
Is this whole fascination with the Kennedy clan, the Camelot myth, America's royal family, as you write about in your column, a generational thing?
I think it very much is, and I think that's particularly true for Roman Catholics, since President John F. Kennedy's 1960 victory was very much a coming of age for many American Catholics. They felt they had arrived in America, that they were truly accepted, and that his success was a symbol, in a sense, of their own success. And this was particularly true for Irish Catholics, who still remember the days of Irish need not apply signs in storefronts, and were just mesmerized and captivated by this politician who shared their ethnic and religious background and yet had ascended to the nation's highest office. So that was a moment of great pride for Catholics across the board in America. And I think that solidified sort of the Camelot mystique and the Kennedy mystique in the minds of Americans of that generation. Of course, younger Catholics who cannot even recall that because they weren't even born yet have come to know the Kennedys in a different light, and those who are, of course, pro-life have known the Kennedy family in terms of the politicians to be, on the whole, one that has been very strident in their support for legalized abortion, even including, of course, partial birth abortion, which Senator Ted Kennedy defended and refused to support a ban on even that pretty gruesome procedure. And this has, of course, been pretty much de rigueur for Kennedys in political life, with the exception here and there of a particular Kennedy, Eunice Shriver being, of course, the most notable exception. So that's what younger pro-life Catholics know about Kennedys, and they know about sex scandals, and they know about, you know, incidents in the news in the William Kennedy Smith rape trial and all of that in 91. And so they have a little different image of the Kennedys.
Is this, what, emblematic of a kind of a larger rift in American Catholicism?
I think in some sense it is. There is a generational gap, I think, within Catholicism. There are, of course, many disaffected young Catholics who check the box on the census form, and other than that, you know, don't darken the door of a church, and are Catholics only in the most nominal sense. But for those who are highly engaged in their faith, they tend to be pro-life, and they tend to believe that if a faith is worth following, then it's worth following its most fundamental moral tenets. And of course, the Church has made clear over and over again in its teaching, and of course, John Paul II and now Pope Benedict XVI have said over and over again, that the defense of innocent human life, particularly the lives of the unborn, is a fundamental tenet, basically a building block of Catholic moral teaching. So for these young pro-life Catholics, they're evaluating politicians and political dynasties according to that criteria, and not the fact that, well, you know, they've got Irish roots just like me, or it's that Kennedy last name. They're not as mesmerized by that, and that's partly, I think, a function of the pluralism in our culture today. There isn't that outright anti-Catholic bigotry that was going on in JFK's day, and so there's more of a sense that you evaluate the politician by his positions, at least for these young adults. And when they look at the positions of many of these Kennedys in public life, they don't think they're very Catholic positions.
What Catholic politicians out there, I mean, not to exclude Catholics in other positions of prominence and influence, but in particular lawmakers and politicians, what Catholic politicians are there out there to whom this younger generation, this more faithful generation of Roman Catholics can look up to?
Well, I think there are some who've there are frankly a fair number of converts, and sadly sometimes it's the converts who are more emblematic of this group. I mean, I think certainly former Senator Santorum is one example of someone who held together both and holding up Catholic social teaching even on issues like the death penalty and his opposition to it, while being firmly, staunchly pro-life on the abortion question and, of course, pro-family on the marriage question. Folks like Brownback as well. There have been some up-and-coming Catholic politicians fairly new to Congress. I'm thinking of one in Kansas right now who are kind of taking their faith into the public square in a more active way, following some of these models. But, of course, it's an uphill battle, and sad to say, many of the Catholics in Congress are pretty poorly formed Catholics in the sense that they don't have a very strong grasp of Catholic teaching, and we saw this, of course, with Nancy Pelosi's attempt to summarize Catholic teaching on abortion last year, and Senator, now Vice President Joe Biden's similar botched attempt. So there's plenty of malformed Catholics in the United States Senate and in the House, but there are a few exceptions, and they tend to be pretty outspoken, notable exceptions, and those are the ones that these young Catholics look to.
Terry Mattingly, who watches the media, Watch Religion, watches the Roman Catholic Church as well, and he talks about confession going sweat the details Catholics. But he says this is at the most 20%, if not less, of American Catholics, his estimation. What do you think?
I think it's hard to put a number on it. Certainly, they are not the vast majority of Catholics. We know that, particularly in the chaos and confusion that followed the Second Vatican Council and its poor implementation in many parts of American Catholicism, that there was a lot of loss in terms of just simple church attendance and in terms of a grasp of the faith. I would, however, say that the younger generation it's a more hopeful picture. Again, they're not the majority in their generation, those who are staunchly, they're really deeply embedded in the teachings of the church. They really understand them, and they're living them out day to day, and they're extremely active in the pro-life movement. These new faithful, as I called them in my book, are certainly not the majority of all young people, but they are the ones who are actually involved in their Catholic faith. So what you tend to see more and more with the younger generation is less of the cultural Catholicism, that is the sense that, well, grandma was a Catholic and mom was a Catholic, so I guess I'll be a Catholic. There's less of that and more of a sense of this is a choice that I'm making for myself. This is a commitment to Jesus Christ and to the Catholic Church that I'm making for myself, and I want to live up to it. And if at some point I were to stop believing, stop following these teachings, I wouldn't parade around and call myself a Catholic. I'd simply walk away. And so that's where I think you see this deeper division in younger Catholics of either they're very active and they're very up on their faith and they're pretty vocal in defending it, or they just don't bother. And that's the difference, I would say, with that generation versus the one that was so enamored with the Kennedys and with that sort of Camelot Catholicism, which is a lot about the trappings of the Catholic faith, but not as much about the real substance of its teachings.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can find her columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, Dr. Craig Evans joins us. We'll begin a three-part weekly series on how modern scholarship distorts the Gospels. We'll begin by talking about what is the best source for finding out who Jesus is. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Giggle Free Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in Word and Sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.